Live from Las Vegas, Nevada, at the KSHP studios, this is the Michelle Mortensen Show with your host, Michelle Mortensen, the fresh and fearless voice of talk radio, taking on the liberal media, the political hacks, and so much more. It's time to nix the narrative and get to the truth the way only Michelle can. Now, here's your host, the fresh, fiery, and factual voice of politics and news, eight-time Emmy winner, Michelle Mortensen.
It is finally Friday, and we are finally here for the Michelle Mortensen Show for all the deep analysis of the news of the day, the politics of the day, and the pop culture of the day that you know and love. And my friends, we got a ton to talk about today, an absolute plethora of topics. So get ready and buckle up, because this is going to be a fun show. This show is laced with a little bit of comedy today. I know. I'm always terribly funny and hilarious. I'm just giving that as a little preference because some people might actually say, I'm a little mean today or a little feisty today. Oh no. Comedy just isn't dead here on this show. And we make fun of everyone and everything. But before we get to all the fun and hysterics, let's talk a little bit about what has happened today. Well, it looks like we have now gotten an inch closer to President Biden signing that $1.9 trillion COVID relief package. Why is that? Well, there was a marathon session in the Senate last night. Overnight, starting around 2:30 in the afternoon yesterday until about 6:30 in the morning today, senators were voting on each and every single amendment to this bill. Why? Well, Republicans wanted to put Democrats on the record to see, like, I don't know, what do you think about the Keystone Pipeline? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? What about the minimum wage? Republicans wanted to get them on the record. Here's where that sucks. We got them all on the record. Almost every single vote was 50-50. You want to know who broke the vote? Kamala Harris. So for all those people who said, oh, Joe Manchin, he's going to be the flipper. He's going to be the great unifier. No. The few times, two times he voted with the Republicans, Susan Collins didn't. Where was Kristen Sinema? Where was she? Like, where's Waldo? She was nowhere to be found. She was voting with the Democrats. And this is what I want Republicans to understand, because it's about time they figured it out. Democrats always vote as one. It's the Republicans who believe, hey, stand your beliefs, do what you want. Susan Collins, you do you. That's how Republicans function. Rand Paul, you do you. Cheney, Liz Cheney, you do you. That's how Republicans always act. Democrats never act that way. Democrats always get on board. And as a result, we're going to pass this $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan. And President Biden spoke to America today. He thought it was so important that he went into the White House dining room, did a little speech, said he was going to talk to reporters, didn't. We'll get to that in a second. And told us that we just need to do more, that people are out of work, that people don't have food, that people are suffering. This from the man who killed thousands upon thousands of union jobs, destroying the Keystone Pipeline. This from a man who refuses to open up the freaking economy so these people who aren't working and filing on unemployment can go back to their jobs. This from a man who sat there and had the audacity to say today that, you know, women are suffering from this because women aren't working. Women have been outed from the workforce. Let me tell you why. Can I give you a newsflash here, Joe Biden? Obviously, you don't know facts. You refuse to open up the dang schools. So you want to know where mommies are all over the country? They're at home with their kids doing online learning. You're right if you're saying, wow, Michelle, you're super angry today. You're right, I am. Because I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of unity. There's no unity. Democrats vote as one. I'm tired of being told this is unfair to women. You're right, it is. Open up. I'm tired of a president who refuses to talk to the press. Now, I know someone out there is saying, shame, shame, Michelle. You know as well as I do. He's doing that big interview before the Super Bowl. And you're right. Gosh, you're right. The president has finally decided to do a sit-down interview with journalists. Those key journalists, those hard-hitting journalists over at People Magazine. They put him on the cover of People magazine too. Spence, show him. It's so adorable. It's so adorable. Hard-hitting journalism here from People magazine. Now, if you're wondering what kind of information you're going to get in this really hard-hitting interview, I've got some clips for you. My good, we're going to learn about the flowers that Joe Biden gives Dr. Jill. Take a listen.
I love gardenias, and so Joe would buy me a wrist corsage of gardenias. I think it was for Valentine's Day, it's just a tradition, and he surprised me with it. And I was surprised that people actually saw it on my wrist.
Oh, God, I have been wondering what Joe Biden's favorite flower is this whole time. I missed the corsage. I mean, how did I miss that? I'm so glad that People magazine was able to bring me this hard-hitting journalism, where we also learn about the White House dogs and how Joe Biden's heart goes pitter-pat, pitter-pat every time he sees Jill Biden walk into the room. Cute story? Sure. Important interview from the leader of the free world who has signed more executive orders in his first 2 weeks in office than any president? No, these aren't important questions. Not at all. Now, I will give you this. Man, those hard-hitting journalistic people, they did ask a little bit about the Trump impeachment, basing it off of a question a real journalist from CNN asked. Take a listen.
They asked me whether or not they thought the trial should go forward. They didn't ask me whether or not he should have been impeached. He was impeached by the House, and it has to move forward. Otherwise, it would come off as farcical what this was all about.
I mean, we just had to go forward. I mean, who cares that we don't even have a real judge trying it? We got Pat Leahy, who's already voted 2 times to impeach him. So is Pat Leahy an impartial judge? Is Pat Leahy even a judge? Oh, God, no. He's not. Let's see now here. Even though you know that you don't have the votes for impeachment, and even though you can't, no matter how hard you try, Democrats, get Trump to testify, you're literally going to have this impeachment of a former president who's not even there to defend himself or to testify. And you're going to, you already know you don't have the votes. So no, this isn't a sham impeachment at all. No. And to the viewer who said Biden's done more than Trump ever did, that's actually not true, because Donald Trump got us peace in the Middle East. Donald Trump actually got us tax reform. Donald Trump did good things for Americans and for the economy. Was he a Twitter narcissist? Gosh darn it, he was. But you can show me on the doll where the tweet hurt you. But I can show you all across America where everything what Joe Biden is doing is hurting you. By increasing the number of refugees going into this country now, guess what? We have more COVID cases potentially. By getting rid of people's jobs, you're putting more people on the unemployment line. By telling good union workers that they need to go get an entirely new career when they're 40, 50 years old is basically death to them. So you know what? That's a flat out lie, and you know it. I'm sorry that Donald Trump offended you so dang much, but being offended and not being offended by vanilla Joe Biden does not mean he's doing a better job. It doesn't mean that at all. It means the exact opposite. It means that he's plain. It means that he's vanilla. It means that he's undoing all the good things that Trump did. And it means that he's screwing us as a country over. That's what it really means. That's absolutely what it means. And that's not even really a partisan talking point. I want all of you who are watching, because I know some of you who are watching, are super afraid of COVID and you think it's the worst thing that's ever happened and you live in massive fear and you wear 12 masks. Are you happy that there's a bunch of people at the border who now get to come in as refugees and they now just get to cross the border whenever they want at will, who haven't been tested for COVID at all? And are you super excited that they now get to go after the low-paying jobs that are available that the rest of Americans can't get? Cool. See, this is why politicians truly do suck, whether they're on the right or the left. And that brings me to my new comedic segment that I'm really going to love. And you're going to get mad at me and say that I mean. It's called Politicians Suck. probably offended you that open, but you know it was funny. Because it was. Because politicians do suck. Because they say one thing and they do another all the time. Right politicians do this. Left politicians do this. All politicians do this. And you know what? Over the past week, we've just seen a lot of stupid here at the state level and at the national level. Let's begin with my favorite buffoon, John Kerry. You know, he's our climate czar. He's the one who helped create that Paris Climate Accord, where every country that's a part of the Paris Climate Accord has not met any of the factors that they're supposed to meet. You know, that weaseless treaty that's supposed to make the climate green. You know, this guy who says we could get rid of all emissions in the U.S. and it wouldn't change a darn thing because China doesn't listen to us and they're the real polluters. That guy. See, when he was called out for running around on his private plane that his rich second wife, Teresa Hines, got him, he had to say this.
It's the only choice for somebody like me who is traveling the world to win this battle. I believe the time it takes me to get somewhere, I can't sail across the ocean. I have to fly to meet with people and get things done.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're special. You're important. Oh, the rules don't apply to you. What you're doing is God's freaking work. So you get to put out all the pollution in the world because you're special. You're special. You're so important. So important. God, I love you. My next nominee for Politician Suck this week is America's favorite sweetheart, AOC. Let's play tip one.
The reason I say this and the reason I'm getting emotional in this moment is because these folks who tell us to move on, that it's not a big deal, that we should forget what's happened, or even telling us to apologize, these are the same tactics of abusers.
You know what? AOC was exactly right. When abusers try to get you, when they try to gaslight you and try to say, you need to move on, you need to move on, you need to get over this, that is what abusers do. I 100% agree. I was abused for the majority of my life by a family member. I know exactly what abusers do. I know it very, very, very well. Here's the difference. That does not give me the right, because I've been abused, to lie about an incident at the Capitol on January 6th, make it uber dramatic, do your little Instagram post, and be on every news media outlet for days. Do you want to know why that's not allowed? Because the poor men and women who were actually in the House chamber, the ones who were actually there, because we all know AOC wasn't. She was in the comfort of her office, scared by Capitol Police who were going to save her because he was wearing a beanie. And my God, white supremacists wear beanies. Because all of those people who were in the House chamber, I haven't seen them exploit this and make the story about them at all. But I've watched one person make the story about her this whole freaking month, and her name is AOC. Here's more proof. Let's play tape two.
My story is not the only story, nor is it the central story. It's one of many stories of what these people did in creating this environment. And
Chica, you're the only one talking about it. My God, not even Nancy Pelosi is waxing on poetically on Instagram, probably because she doesn't know how to use it, talking about her freaking trauma. And Nancy was the one they were really going after. At least that's what I think. She has totally made this about her. Completely and utterly made it all about her. She has made it a drama fest. And I believe she is someone who's gone through trauma. I believe she is someone who needs help. I believe all of that. And I don't want to take any of that away from her. But I also want to call a spade a spade. And that is, when you are making the story about yourself, sister, you are making the story about yourself. And this is why politicians suck. Because they always make it about them and they never make it about you. Here's more proof on the local level. Governor Sisolak decided to talk today in a YouTube video, about how not enough people are getting vaccines here in the state of Nevada. Do you want to know what would help, Governor Sisolak? Not creating equity plans, but if you would actually distribute the darn vaccine in color and communities of color, in poor communities, and if you would make it easy, and if you didn't have this dumb tier system where teachers and a bunch of white women of privilege have been able to go get it before old people, people of color. It's a system you created, dude. It's your problem. Quit yelling at all of us. More Nevada politicians who are going to blow your mind? Well, you know, the legislative session began this week. It began on February 1st, so it's been going for a whopping 5 days. And I'm sure you don't know anyone who's there. So I'm going to introduce you to some of the amazing politicians that are there, like State Senator Melanie Scheibel, who happens to be the chair of one of the most prestigious committees in the entire legislature, the Judicial Committee. And today, in their or earlier this week in their earlier Zoom conference meeting, she decided to welcome everyone who was watching and wanted to participate, whether that be lobbyists or citizens, by tuning in on YouTube, by doing her best Dr. Seuss impression. Take a listen.
Normally, we have the pleasure of seeing all of your faces, but today, you guys get to stay in your pajamas and log on from wherever you might be, with a cat, with a bat, on a town, and a clown. Wherever you might be.
I loved how the other senators were like, what is this bee saying? Because that's what we were all saying. Freaking Dr. Seuss is chairing the Judicial Committee, and it's insane. But that wasn't even the dumbest part. She also explained to everyone that they can communicate by, you know, calling in, emailing, or using a fax.
We also have a fax number, and if any of you are going to send us a fax, please let me know because I would like to see a fax machine in action. And I think that'd be a really fun piece of history.
Come on. Are you 12? Because, yeah, my 8-year-old daughter doesn't know what a fax machine is, but I asked Spencer, and he's in his 20s, and he knows what one is. That'd be a really neat piece of history. How is this woman a senator? And how is she the chair of the Judicial Committee? Oh, guess what? It gets worse. This genius. She has some new rules for the Judicial Committee that will only meet via Zoom. Let's take a listen to her first rule.
That we, if we continue to utilize single-use plastics at our current rate, the ocean will contain more plastic than fish by 2050. Therefore, single-use plastics are hereby banned from the Senate Judiciary Committee. And anyone who brings this scourge into the committee, whether in person or on camera, will be subject to public reprimand. I do not want to see any plastic water bottles, any plastic bags, any other single-use plastic items on your screen or with your person during these meetings. And if you do it, you'll get a warning like this one, which is very serious.
Oh my God. I mean, she might give me a warning, which is very serious, if I have a water bottle or a straw. Ah, straws are the devil. They're ruining the earth. She's a state senator. It gets worse. Let's listen to her.
And let me apologize off the bat. We are still learning the technology. I am still figuring out how to keep documents and my screen open. I believe I added a rule, Mr. Guinan. I'm not sure if it made it into the final version, asking or requiring everybody to please stick with gender neutral terminology in this committee, whether you are a member, whether you are testifying. And specifically, I want everybody to know, and I'll repeat this a couple of times because I know that not everybody here, not everybody who's going to testify from the committee is here today. And as people come before the committee, I may be reminding them that you may simply call me chair or Chair Scheibel. No need for Miss or Madam Chair or anything like that. And I will expect you to do the same with each other and with all of our witnesses. And that's the only change that
Chair Scheibel, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Pat Gunn. I just wanted to acknowledge.
Okay, so she wants all gender neutral terms. I'm going to show you a shot now of all the senators listening to her. Like, even Nicole Cannizzaro's like, what's up with this chick? And then my favorite response was from Republican Senate Minority Leader Settlemeyer.
Mr. Seibel?
Yeah.
I meant no disrespect by referring to your gender. However, put me down as a no. I'm not going to have a rule in place that says that I have to do that every time. As a sign of respect, I sometimes call people by male or female, and it is never meant in a disrespectful tone or in a term. And in that respect, though, I just put me down as a no on the rule. Thank you.
I loved her face. That's why I kept it in there. I loved her face in the end. She was like, what? What? He challenged me and he called me a girl? I loved her face. And I love Settlemyer now like a little bit more. I always kind of liked him because he kind of reminded me of Dan Quayle. And I always kind of had a crush on him when I was a little kid. Dan Quayle, that is not Settlemyer. And I just love that he challenged her because, my God, how is this woman an elected leader of the Senate and heading up the Judicial Committee? Like, it's scary. So, State Senator Seibel, in your first week, you are getting the official Dumbass of the Award Week.
You're a stage five dumbass.
She really, really, really is. Because she's fake woke. She's fake woke. She thinks she's so woke. And so I'm just like my role model, Nancy Pelosi. That's what she thinks she is. And we're going to talk about fake wokeness because I don't know if you've heard about this Canadian rapper named Tom McDonald, but he's written some music and one of his songs just dropped today. And I think if you are on the right or you're just over cancel culture and you're over being fake woke, you're going to really dig his sound. So we're going to talk about that and making makeup great again. And so much more. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Censorship's an issue because they choose what they erase. There's the difference between hate speech and speech that you hate. I think Black Lives Matter was the stupidest name when the system's screwing everyone exactly the same. I just want
to
spend...
Before 1-800-Flowers came around, these phones used to ring constantly. But now, no one needs Cupid because they can just go to 1-800-Flowers.com and choose a bouquet that is guaranteed to wow. I used to be a bona fide 10. Be a 10. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com and order today.
Hey. You have to wash Jason Alexander hoodie.
It looks clean to me.
Is it, though?
Look at what's happened to me. I can't believe it myself. Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. Should have been somebody else.
Be sure to get the bugs off the window.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer.
You owe Jason Alexander hoodie an apology.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
Hey, that's my face. You can't just wear my face.
My mom told me to say I'm sorry.
Give me back my face.
Well, conservative women everywhere have a new fan favorite of their material girl. They all love Amanda Ensing. As I told you on Monday, Sephora canceled this little girl for being a conservative and for being Christian. Do we have her picture up so we can remind everyone what she looked like? She was a Sephora, you know, beauty expert, and she used to tell you how to wear blush and how to, you know, do your eyes in a smoky look. And then Sephora was like, oh my God, wait, she's conservative? We don't want you. You're disgusting. We have inclusivity here. And everybody was outraged, right? Well, now she has found a way to capitalize on this by making makeup great again. Yeah, that's her new company, Making Makeup Great Again. She is making right there a website where you can eventually buy makeup products and clothing because she's going to make Makeup Great Again Cozy Crew Neck. Ooh, that sounds very cozy. Love it. I have to make fun of everything, right? You got to admit, this is kind of funny. I'm glad for her because I hate that people get canceled. That's why we have a regular segment here called Canceled. And we hate when people get canceled. We believe in free speech here, but we've got to make fun of stuff too. All right, Tom McDonald. Don't know if you've heard of this Canadian rapper, but this Canadian rapper earlier in the week created a song, dropped a song, a music video called Fake Woke that was going to the top of the charts, even on iTunes. We're going to play a little bit for you now. You heard it a little bit in the break, but this guy's just straight up going for it. Check it out.
I think it's crazy I'm the one who they labeled as controversial, and Cardi B is the role model for 12-year-old girls. There's rappers pushing Xanax at the top of the billboard, but if I mention race in a song, I'm scared I'll get killed for it. It's backwards, it's getting exponentially dumb. It's more difficult to get a job than purchase a gun. Eminem used to gay bash and murder his mom, and now he doesn't want fans if they voted for Trump. We're ashamed to be American. You should probably love it, cause you have the right to hate it and not get stoned to death in public. As children we were taught how to walk and talk, but the system wants adults to sit down and shut up. Cancel culture runs the world now, the planet went crazy. Label everything we say as homophobic or racist. If you're white, then you're privileged, guilty by association. All our childhood heroes got Me Too'd or they're rapists. They never freed the slaves. They realized that they don't need the chains. They gave us tiny screens. We think we free because we can't see the cage. They knew the race war would be the game they need to play. From people to big teams, they use the media to feed the flame.
Wow. Where is the lie though? He like calling it all out right there. And that's why this song has gone to the top of the charts. Now I get, for my audience, we all know that I like the gangster rap. It's kind of my thing. I grew up in Oakland. It's my thing. I like it. I like it a lot. But this guy is just preaching some truth. He was on Glenn Beck last night telling everybody that he's dropping a new song today. I'm going to play you a little bit of it right now because the new video for Canceled just came out. We're only going to listen to a little part of it, but check it out because, again, lots of truth here.
I can't be canceled. There's no way that you can stop me. I'm fully independent. There's no label who can drop me. Y'all been starting rumors. Let me help you with some. Yeah.
He's a racist, he's a sexist, he's in love with Donald Trump.
Y'all can't cancel me, my life is scandal free. There ain't no sponsors taking losses cause the brand is me. My hands are clean, my family and my fans agree. Y'all can't cancel me for facts because you're mad and weak. Go ahead and tell the world I'm ugly and racist. I braid my hair and I don't care about cultural appropriation. I moved to the ghetto, lived in the ghetto, there's no Caucasians. And still I loved every single one of my neighbors. How's a man say I'm clickbait if he gonna use this face to get clicks on his page? Y'all hypocrites I'm made. But I ain't tripping.
I mean, once again, where's the lie? We have become a huge cancel culture and it's becoming pervasive and we're seeing it everywhere. Most recently, do you know where we're getting canceled? By the media and the New York Times. Because I don't know if you heard this, but earlier this week, the New York Times did an op-ed where they said the Biden administration needs to help solve our reality crisis. We're in a reality crisis. I think we are too, and that's because we watch really crappy reality show like The Bachelor and The Real Housewives, but that wasn't actually the reality crisis that this guy was talking about. He was saying the reality crisis is that we're misinformed and that he needs the new president to appoint a reality czar, to combat disinformation. He goes on to say the muddled, chaotic information ecosystem that produces these misguided beliefs doesn't just jeopardize some lofty ideal of national unity. It actually exacerbates our biggest national problems and creates more work for those of us trying to solve them. I've spent the past several years reporting on our national reality crisis, and I worry that unless Biden treats conspiracy theories and disinformation as urgent threats, our parallel universe will only drift further apart. So let's have a cross-agency task force to tackle disinformation and domestic extremism. So let me get this right. You want a government agency, the czar of media, to tell us what's right and what's wrong. Does that remind you at all of China? Does that remind you at all of Hitler? Goebbels? Maybe? Where was all the outrage when there were doofuses who tried to tell us that the earth was flat and they were flat earthers? where was all the outrage from the Looney Tunes who said Neil Armstrong didn't walk on the moon, that that was all done in a movie studio? Oh, those things don't hurt people? Only Republicans hurt people? Oh, wow. That's very interesting. That's a lie too, because all of this hurts people. If little kids grow up and think the world is flat and if you get on a boat, you're going to fall off, that's just as dangerous as thinking, you know, Trump won the election. It's just as dangerous because it's just not true. It's just not true. Here's how we counter lies from truth. You have a foundation of truth, and you have a media that is fair and balanced and isn't a freaking puppet for an administration. I want to remind you as well that the New York Times has also been guilty of reporting fake news with their fake freaking podcast, and that they hired an Iranian propagandist to write articles for them that were straight from the Iranian government, that was pro-Iranian, anti-Israel propaganda. Sure. If we're going to get that reality star, I guess one of the first things we need to attack is all the nonsense that goes on over at the freaking New York Times. There you go. Tough truths today, huh? Yeah, real tough. Let's lighten things up, shall we? In the next block, we're going to talk about why the Biden administration won't open schools and why the CDC is stupid and tells you not to cheer at the Super Bowl. And we have an actual medical expert to talk about it all. Yes, Dr. Sal is back with us. He's a fan favorite. Right after this break, we're going to bring him in and we're going to talk about all that and so much more.
This credit app will save you money.
What happens?
That app is trash. Only with Experience app can you get your free FICO score. Raise it instantly with Experience.
Download the Experience app now.
Looking for a professional, honest, and knowledgeable realtor who will tell you the truth about the Las Vegas market? Then you need John Kennedy and the team at Home, a real estate company. With 16 years buying, selling, and managing properties all over the Las Vegas Valley, there's no one better to serve you. Give John a call today at 702-640-0101 and let him lead you home.
LadylikeClothing.com is a Las Vegas locally owned women's boutique created to cater to women who want to look their best without compromising comfort and quality. LadylikeClothing.com focuses on contemporary, well-designed looks with classic feminine styling. Ladylike Clothing wants to help you build a wardrobe you'll love with beautiful, functional pieces that are never overdone and always ladylike. Shop online today at LadylikeClothing.com.
We give game day a whole new meaning.
Well, they call me sweetness and I like to dance. Running the ball is like Mickey Mouse Mance.
That wasn't the Weather Girls, it's Rainy Men. That was the Chicago Bears and their Super Bowl Shuffle. I had to think of the team name. I think that song's really funny. And I miss the days where, you know, teams were all about, like, I don't know, making people laugh, and when sports were about sports and not politics. But alas, we don't live in that world anymore now, do we? Thanks, Colin Kaepernick. We live in a world where everything is politicized, and even the CDC decided to politicize the Super Bowl of all things. And we're going to talk about that right now with an actual doctor. No. You don't have to take my words for it and go like, she's biased. We're going to talk to an actual doctor. He's been on the show before. Dr. Sal from the Men's Health Network joining us now. Dr. Sal, it is so great to have you here. How are you, Dr. Sal?
I'm doing fantastic. I had my second COVID vaccination a couple of days ago, and I think that's just great that we're getting all this vaccine out there. But I'm doing fine. Hopefully you are too.
Well, good. And I'm glad to hear that you were able to get that vaccine. I know you really wanted it. You got your second dose, and I'm glad that you live in a place. I think you're over in Florida, right? Where, you know,
that's
DeSantis
right.
is really running the program intelligently and well, unlike
Absolutely.
Places like Nevada, but that's a story for another day. I first want to get into the fun topic about the Super Bowl.
Right.
At this point, my respect for the CDC is bottom of the barrel. because I think that they talk out of both sides of their mouth and they do whatever's politically expedient right now, which is a real crying shame because I never felt that way before. But 2020 ruins everything. But when they came out with their rules for the Super Bowl, don't meet with anybody. Don't you dare cheer or sing. Maybe text your encouragement to people who you want to watch with so you can watch it all together on Zoom. I mean, these just seemed kind of, well, stupid. I wonder what you thought.
They're not practical. I think that we have to go back. I mean, we're looking at the current approach CDC has towards the Super Bowl. But let's not forget that January 2020, we had a Super Bowl in Miami. And I remember the mayor of Miami asking CDC for guidance and over at NIH and Dr. Fauci. He said, well, there's no problem. Go ahead and have the Super Bowl. There's nothing to be concerned about. That probably wasn't the right call. And I think we're seeing just the exact direct opposite of that, which is overstrident recommendations, which are not practical for the times. I do think that the folks going to the Super Bowl are very fortunate that it's in some place like Florida, as opposed to California or New York or some of the other states where they've been so highly restrictive. Because I think you see at least some reasonably good guidance coming from the state government and the county officials there, where I think that they're telling people to be socially distanced, wear masks, be careful. They're saying to wear masks outdoors and on the boardwalks and in Ybor City and other community areas. Well, I think under the circumstances, that might be a reasonably good thing to say. But I do think that no singing, no yelling, no exuberance is just denies the human spirit. And one of the things we need now is we need to reaffirm our ability to do things that are some fun with being careful. And you can have, it's not either or.
Right. I think it's just one of the things that has been frustrating with me about the CDC. And trust me, I understand that as we learn more and science changes and we add and we grow, you have to admit that the CDC and Dr. Fauci have just in the last year kind of exposed just how fragile science is. And we are a world that wants everything to be answered, why, and let me have these rules, and then don't change them. And number one, science doesn't work that way. And then when people like Dr. Fauci and members of the CDC try to act that way, it kind of exposes that that's all a fraud. Because I want to remind everyone, CDC, Dr. Fauci, Surgeon General, in the beginning said, don't wear masks. Then it became wear masks. Then on the same day, I've watched Dr. Fauci say things like, well, you should just wear one mask. Well, two masks would be better. Three masks would be better. 1,800 masks and a bubble around your person would be the best thing at all. It's kind of ridiculous. And I don't think that they understand that they are really minimizing their role and they are minimizing their importance and they are minimizing their influence with their stupid double speak.
Yeah, I have a tremendous amount of respect for the individual scientists at CDC and NIH. I have a tremendous respect for the good that they do over the decades under not the best of circumstances all the time. But I was reminded by a very highly placed friend of mine who had been in the public health service at the highest levels that if you go to Washington, people tell you to bring a dog, but I'm here to tell you to bring two dogs because one of them's going to bite you. And another very highly placed person within the public health service who said, it's the public health service, Sal. We serve at the pleasure of the public politicians, the politicians who govern us. So you can't remove government from the public health service or any of the public health domains or medical areas. So I think a cautionary tale here is that common sense must rule. And I agree with you. I don't see any merit to wearing two masks. I think that some of it is maybe au courant thinking as opposed to good, solid scientific thinking. And CDC and the scientists there would do well to go back to the standard of scientific proof. What we're seeing now is, unfortunately, a lot of hypothesis being tossed out as gospel. And that doesn't serve anybody well.
I love it when you agree with me. And I also love it when you speak truth like that, because yes, going with the hypothesis isn't serving anyone at all. It's actually hurting people. All right. Speaking of hurting people, I was thrilled this week because I saw people whom I do not agree with normally, like Lori Lightfoot, like San Francisco Mayor London Breen, like Michael Bloomberg, saying, open up the darn schools. In fact, we're going to play a video right now of what Michael Bloomberg said on MSNBC. Take a listen.
It's time for Joe Biden to stand up and say, the kids are the most important things, important players here. And the teachers just are going to have to suck it up and stand up and provide an education.
So Bloomberg says, hey, the teachers are going to have to suck it up. Biden needs to get off his beep beep and, you know, make them do this. And then we even had the CDC, the director of the CDC, say the following. And then we watched Circle Back Girl, Jen Psaki, say it's just opinion. Watch, in case you don't know what I'm talking about.
That vaccination of teachers is not a prerequisite for safe reopening of schools.
Zelensky spoke to this in her personal capacity. Obviously, she's the head of the CDC, but we're going to wait for the final guidance to come out so we can use that as a guide for schools around the country.
Okay. This really irritated me. This really irritated me because when the CDC, when you've got Democrats all over the country saying, open up the darn schools, when you've got the head of the CDC saying vaccines are not necessary to open up the schools, when Dr. Fauci has said the safest place for you to be is in the schools, when General Gerard said, hey, the safest place for you to be is in the schools, open up the schools, open up the schools. How in the heck does Jen Psaki go as far as to say that the head of the CDC is not speaking science, but speaking her freaking opinion? You have no idea, Dr. Sal, how offensive that is on so many levels.
Well, I suppose Ms. Psaki was also speaking her opinion. You know, way back in April or May, the American Academy of Pediatrics, this is a very august group, this is a very important group. These are experts in children, not just, whooping cough and heart disease, but the emotional stability and emotional wellness, as well as the intellectual maturity of our children, said way back, you must get the children back in schools as soon as possible. That's been lost sight in all of this debate back and forth with teachers and teachers unions. I think we did the right thing by creating optional approaches to deliver education for students, but it's not just about book learning. School is not just about book learning. It's about so many other things, socialization, learning rules. And for many of these children, nutritional safety nets. So to continue to struggle with putting children back in school when, as Bloomberg said, and here I do agree with him, they need to take responsibility. There are many, many people out there, grocery clerks, postal office employees, who are working in safe environments and still are not eligible for vaccinations. But I see a lot of pushback, not based on science, but based on fear. And that's not appropriate. You know, we're reading about, and I'm working with Men's Health Network now to do some work on the mental health effects, impacts on boys and men of COVID restrictions. And we're seeing too many incidences of suicides there in Nevada, right near where you all are. I believe that there were 16 children, young children, who killed themselves because of isolation. There was another instance of a young man who shot himself during a Zoom video class. The parents are blaming, and I think rightfully so, isolation. There are children that we're going to have this huge lost generation of education. And these are just for the kids who have normal intellectual capacity. We have many, many hundreds of thousands of children who don't have that intellectual. So I think, you know, not opening the schools now because teachers are afraid that they're not vaccinated all the science. They have can do plenty of things to protect themselves, social distancing, plexiglass barriers, as you see in supermarkets and post offices across the country. There are many things that can be done.
As I often tell people, my kids have been in the classroom, in class, with their friends, with teachers, every single day since the first week of June. Not one case of COVID.
Right. The transmission of COVID rates, if anybody cares to look, I don't know them off the top of my head here right now, but they are extremely low and even lower than in the population. So sure, I think there are maybe a subset of teachers who are older, over 65, but they should already be covered by vaccination rules in most sane states with sane vaccination protocols. But a 23-year-old teacher probably is very safe by wearing a mask, wearing a face shield, or possibly being behind plexiglass. But you can't continue to deny these children the essentials based on a fear, an irrational fear.
And let's talk about that a bit, because I think this is really important. You know, I spent my career in TV news. I'm not a 20-year-old, but I am not, you know, an older person by any stretch of the imagination. And I know a lot of teachers. I know a lot of young white teachers who are between their 30s and early 40s who have all gotten the vaccine. While old people in this state, people of color in this state, people who live in poverty-stricken areas and poor communities in the state of Nevada have gotten nothing. There are people in New York, like the former chair of the Democratic Party of New York, who went down to his second residence in Florida to get his vaccine. This creating of a freaking tier system that nobody gives a rat's patoot about when we allow celebrities and elitists and politicians to cut the line because they're more important. Why, Dr. Sal, please enlighten me, do we have a tier system at all? Why don't you just put the darn vaccine out there? And you know what I bet? The people who want it would make an appointment and go get it.
It wasn't supposed to work out this way, but I think overly restrictive rules, a focus on process. The other editorial that was out in the New York Times today, which was very critical of and they said it, so it's not just Dr. Sal Giorgiani's opinion. I'm expressing the opinion views of the New York Times. The democratically controlled states really are focusing on process as opposed to focusing on putting needles in people's arms. And they're doing this in ways that are not being helpful in getting vaccine out to the general population and frustrating people and making it very difficult for them to get that vaccine and even going to alternate, totally unsafe ways to get vaccinated or to quote unquote get in line. But the
government doesn't actually work very well and it's not very organized and it doesn't really help the people who need it most. Point made. I know that you also, this is very important to you.
I'm trying to be apolitical, you know.
I know. I just try to pull you in. I know that there's a lot of vaccine scams, though, that are going on right now. And this is really targeting the people who are desperate for this vaccine, who really want this vaccine. And you wanted to talk specifically about that. So I want to give you a few moments to kind of talk about what kind of scams are circulating right now so that people don't get had if they want this vaccine.
There are so many of them. People are very frustrated. And then they're turning to the internet, which is a valid source to buy everything from motor oil to, television sets. But not medicines. I've always been skeptical of getting medicines, even tablets or capsules, through internet sources. But now we're seeing a lot of internet scams. FDA has come out with a bulletin. It's been on several of the media streams. If you see offers if you pay a certain amount of dollars, you get a pass that gives you priority access to vaccines. If you see offers of vaccination cards on the internet, which are bogus. If you see offers of vaccines, other personal protective equipment, treatments or cures or preventative measures for COVID, don't buy into that. These are being put up there by people who really don't care about your health, whether you live or die. They are playing on the fear factor, as we discussed a little bit before, that you are becoming so desperate that you will go to the internet. There is no valid vaccination schedule. There is no way for you to get quick passes on the internet. These are all scams. If you see these things, report them to your state authorities, but don't fall for them. I think some of the dilemma now, Michelle, is going to be resolved, because what is being done now is something I've advocated for since the very beginning. The public health system is a centralized system that's unfortunately always been underfunded and under-resourced. And their approach to doing vaccines is a centralized approach. And in our country, particularly in rural areas and urban areas where there's bad transportation, where there's lack of understanding, these are not good ways to deliver vaccines to hundreds of millions of people, 300 million people or 250, you just look at the adult population. So now I think what was begun under the Trump administration and is gaining more momentum under the Biden administration is delivering these vaccines to pharmacies, to physicians' offices, and to rural hospitals. We even have some people here who've gotten vaccinated at fire stations. It's so simple. Put the vaccine where people are.
Government makes it hard. All right, I want to ask you one question. I know you're the men's health guy, so I feel bad asking you about women's health today, but it is a Go Red for Women Day. That's why every woman you see on TV will be in red. And that is a day that we try to focus on women who die from heart attacks or strokes. They say that 1 in 3 women die every 80 seconds from one of these things, and that 45% of women who are ages 20 or higher have some sort of heart disease. That tells me two things. I'm not trying to be snarky here. It's going to come off snarky because everything I do comes off snarky. But that tells me that heart disease is far deadlier in women than COVID ever could be. And number two, I feel like days like this are also a little bit diminishing, because while I want women to focus on women's health issues, I also know that we can't make it a gender thing. It's just as important for freaking men. Do you have any comments on this?
You can't weed half a garden, Michelle. You've got to take care of all persons. And one of the reasons it's so difficult to get women to be diagnosed with cardiovascular events is because it's been drummed into people that it's a man's disease. And I agree that's not the right approach. Women, and data shows that women are generally misdiagnosed or improperly diagnosed when they present with symptoms of cardiovascular disease, such as heart attack or stroke. They're not generally screened as tightly as men are for high lipids or for congestive heart failure or even angina, which is a prodrome to congestive heart failure or heart attacks. And they're not treated as aggressively as guys are. So cardiovascular disease is still, if you look at the total population, one of either the first or the second leading killer of people. COVID is number three, but we've got a long way to go. And if you combine COVID with cardiovascular disease, oh, it's awful. So yes,
I just want to know when the heart attack and stroke death panel numbers are going to show up on MSNBC, because, you know, just saying. Can't lead more people.
Well, if I knew wear red for women, I would have worn a lovely red tie. I have two fabulous daughters, three wonderful daughter-in-laws, and an absolutely amazing wife who I care about deeply. And I'm always after them to go to the doctor. I don't know. They might have gotten all the guy genes. Must take care of themselves. And cardiovascular disease is still a problem with women.
Well, I can't wait to have you on again, because you're one of my favorite guests. I absolutely love you, Dr. Sal. So I'll be in touch with you to get you on the show again. I thank you for joining us, though, today. Tons of great information. It's always a pleasure.
A pleasure for me, too. Have me back anytime I can be of help. You have a great rest of the day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. We'll be right back, where we're going to talk about exercising during a coup and what the fudge is up with Marilyn Manson. And Elon Musk is playing some Donkey Kong with the real monkeys. Stay tuned. I was in the corner with the body screaming girls. Now the solar pack will look like Fabio and a bull. This gon' make me feel the way that's on a humanoid. You already know.
The Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes is back. $50,000 every score change, plus $2.5 million grand prizes. Enter for free at RocketMortgageSquares.com.
Hershey's milk chocolate with whole almonds. It's mostly a smooth ride with a few delightful bumps along the way. Hershey's milk chocolate with whole almonds.
You say goodbye and I say hello. Hello, hello. I know why you say goodbye and I say hello.
Buy and sell almost anything from home. Mercari, your marketplace.
That song was before my time, but I don't really think it was about working out. But gee, what do I know? What do I know? I do know, though, that working out in the middle of a coup is something that they like to do in the Myanmar area. I for it. Totally oblivious. The fact that a coup is about to go on. Woo! 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 Watch it. Like, she's like, woo! I mean, and I love her music voice. I mean, I just can't get enough of it. I like to exercise and dance during the pod. It is as well. I'm not as convinced. We don't have to watch anymore. That just kills me. Elon Musk, one of my favorite people. He has gone on Clubhouse, which is super exclusive. I'm there. I just don't know how to use it. He did a Clubhouse interview on Sunday where he let us all know that he has found a way to embed chips into monkeys' brains so they can play video games. Donkey Kong, of course. We've already got a monkey with a wireless implant in their skull with tiny wires who can play video games using his mind. Wow. That's intense. Can we have monkeys play Pong with each other? He asked. He's not sure, but he's really excited about this. He also said, this is so Elon Musk. I mean, he's entertaining. He goes, we at the U.S. Department of Agriculture come to check out Neuralink's operations. Quote, she said it was like the nicest monkey facility she's ever seen in her entire career. I really think, like, when Elon Musk says these things, like, I'm always kind of envisioning him, like, just taking a hit off a bong and, like, wow, look at the colors, dude. Like, that. This is how I envision Elon Musk all the time. All right, Marilyn Manson. For those of you who need a reminder, there he is. Long time ago, he dated a girl right next to him named Evan Rachel Wood. He was like 30 when they started dating. She was like 13. Well, Evan Rachel Wood has finally come out and said, hey, my abuser was Marilyn Manson. He did all these heinous things to me in an Instagram post. She wrote all about it. Other women then come out. At least four other women are like, yeah, that dude's freaking crazy. Do you have the scary picture of Marilyn Manson too? Did I give you the? Oh, okay. Well, this is Marilyn Manson today, who really does look like a mix between Dr. Evil and Dr. Evil's son, Scott, right? Talk about not aging well. Oh, it's so uncanny. And I love that Marilyn Manson's kind of going bald now, but he's like, I'm still kind of cool with my comb over. And I just want to say this to all the women who dated him, to all the women who were Me Tooing him. I'm just wondering, why did you think that the affirmed, avowed Satanist who made his stage name after one of the worst serial killers of all time was a super high quality guy who wasn't going to rape you? I mean, it's a valid question, isn't it? I always believe, you know, gotta have, you know, you get a trial, prove that you're guilty, all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, this one's not a stretch. This one's not a Kavanaugh where you're like, what? Kavanaugh didn't do that. This one's where everybody in America is like, yeah, I kind of see that. Yeah. His song, Beautiful People, the Beautiful People. Like, that's his music. That was a really good impression, by the way. I should have gotten a lot more like applause and love for that impression. Finally, because it's time to go, I often tell you what I'm watching because, well, I watch a lot of Netflix and I freaking love it. And this week I watched the Gabriel Fernandez documentary, and that's Gabriel Fernandez right there. Many of you remember, I remember covering this in the news when this happened. This poor little boy was just tortured and abused by his mom and his mom's whacked out boyfriend. They go over all the entire trial. They go through everything that this poor baby went through. And you really get to see behind the scenes on how Child Protective Services failed this child, how teachers who called Child Protective Services and said, hey, this kid has cigarette burns all over his head. He said his mom shot him in the face with a gun. Hey, his teeth have been knocked out with a bat. You need to go take care of this. And they didn't. And how, as soon as this trial ended, 2 weeks later, in the same area, another kid was killed the same exact way by a mom with a jacked up boyfriend. Why am I bringing this up? Because it's kind of a Debbie Downer. It's because this opened my eyes once again to things I've always known, but it just kind of reconfirms it. This was a University of California at Berkeley documentary with the most liberal of the most liberal journalism school on the planet. And even they exposed and realized that big government constantly fails us. Too big to fail? Uh-uh. The bigger you get, the more likely you are going to fail. The more likely you're going to fail little babies like Gabriel, little children who need help. And I want you to remember that. And I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about this for this very reason, because Joe Biden is on a path to make government bigger, 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 bigger. To allegedly take care of more people, more refugees, so the government can give you your paychecks, so the government can wipe out your student debt, so the government can do all these things. How big do you need the government to be before you realize it's failed you? It failed Gabriel. It's failed many, many, many people. And if you keep letting government get bigger, it's going to fail all of us. So it's time to wake up. And it's time to stop the insanity. It's time to open up and quit writing checks that our country just cannot cash. And with that, more Michelle Mortensen Show coming your way at Monday at noon. And of course, what you need to know right now, every single Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night at 6:30, the news you need, the way you want it, when you want it, because in this day and age, we just need news that's easy to share to get on Instagram. Am I right? I'm kind of right. Thank you for tuning in today. I will see you here on Monday. Have a good one.